Welcome to News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about Jefferson City news and issues that matter to you. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly podcast that gives you an inside look at the News Tribune and the stories we're covering, as well as the things going on in the capital city. Today's special guest is Joe Gamm, our reporter who covers social services and health, as well as the Missouri House. As part of that House coverage, Joe's been reporting on challenges and issues facing the Corrections Department here in Missouri. In Sunday's edition, Joe reported the state is proposing to close housing units at 6 correctional centers across the state. 2 of those units are at Tipton and at Algoa here in Jefferson City. So Joe, how did we get here and why are they closing these units?
How we got here is a bit of a long story.
It's a short podcast, Joe.
Okay, well, for many, I'll speak quickly then, if I can. For years, the prison populations had been growing and growing and growing. Even as recently as 2017, there was a proposal to build another prison, that would have cost hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't know what the exact number would have been. I know that the prison here at JCCC 20 years ago was $150 million or some such number. They started looking at the population and reductions. So in 2012, the legislature and then Governor Jay Nixon approved a package of legislation that was aimed at chipping away at the prison population. And we're just starting now to see some of the benefits of that. The population was at 33,200 and change just 2 years ago. And now it's about 26,000, according to the prison population, according to the Corrections Department.
So how much will the state potentially save if they pass this proposal?
Well, last year, they actually shuttered a prison in Cameron. And saved hundreds of millions of dollars, which allowed them to give raises to state employees and particularly corrections employees. This year, with these closures, and they're just units within prisons, they're expecting to save about $6.5 million in immediate costs and about $6.6 million in maintenance costs over the next year.
Okay. So where are most of these 6 correctional centers at? 2 of them are here in mid-Missouri.
They have them at Boonville, Farmington, Bowling Green, and St. Joe are the other 4.
Okay. All right. I think it is an interesting comparison. You mentioned Cameron, northwest Missouri. Those were 2 prisons that basically sat side by side there on the side of Cameron.
And that's very similar to how we are with JCCC in Algoa.
True. With the Cameron, they basically shut, as you said, they shuttered one entire unit and moved the population.
Well, not a unit, the whole prison.
The whole prison, yes.
Yeah.
But they moved that population to the other Cameron site and around the state. In this instance, though, it's more selective. It's more surgical, if you will, where they've gone and they're taking out individual units at these 6 different prisons.
The unique thing about that is they found places where they have buildings that are not being used for their original purposes. So for example, Algoa, the unit that they're closing was a shoe factory at one time. And I don't know how, I think it was built as a shoe factory. It certainly looks like a factory. I did a tour of it last week. In my research, I found that in Jefferson City, there was a period in the middle of the last century where the factories in the prisons outnumbered the factories in the community.
Mm.
So it was big business for corrections to have factories in their prisons. And I understand that the facility at Tipton, which I haven't seen, was part of the original facility there, which was a reformatory for girls. It became a reformatory for women, and then a prison.
So you mentioned you visited Algoa last week.
Yes.
I feel compelled to ask, was that your first trip to a prison, Joe?
I had one last year. I went to JCCC last year.
Okay. I don't need to fill out any HR paperwork here, is all I'm saying. So.
Well, that was my first visit to a Missouri prison. I've been to prisons in other states.
Okay. So how would you compare? You mentioned you've been to JCCC and Algoa. For those who haven't been in both those facilities, compare and contrast the two. What's the difference as far as when you first walk in there?
Well, in each facility, you have to go through a process to get in. So you have to you're buzzed in through a door into a room, and then after you meet certain criteria, you're buzzed in buzzed through to the open facility. And I will say it's been more than a year, I think, since I visited JCCC. It's my memory, I think, that it was we had a lot less interaction with inmates or offenders. JCCC was or is a maximum security prison, I think, throughout.
Yes.
And Algoa is medium security, I think. So, okay. So the offenders there aren't nearly as dangerous as those in JCCC.
Okay. So while at Algoa this last week, you had the opportunity to tour two different units, if you will. One that is going to be closing. The other that's going to be remain. So compare and contrast what the difference between the units. As somebody who just walks in there, what did you notice were the differences between the two?
Well, the main thing is that Algoa is a factory floor. So it's basically wide open spaces with bunk beds stacked in rows and men stacked in rows. With their personal belongings, clothing hanging from the bunks and whatnot. I know that, when I said Algoa, at Unit 16, or 16 House, I think they call it. They call it the jungle.
Okay.
The offenders do, I'm told. I spoke with the warden there, Kelly Morris, and he took me on a tour of it. It's a very primitive site. The showers and facilities are not private at all. I mean, they have some curtains up, but it's very primitive. I think the showers and facility sites in the normal units are kind of similar. That they're made for a number of people to use at the same time. But the other units at Algoa have individual cells for two offenders each. So they have a little chance to get privacy, get away from the crush, and to personalize their space a little bit.
Yeah. So it sounds like from an inmate's perspective, it de-escalates perhaps some of the problems that could exist if you have that cell environment versus, as you said, bunks stacked upon bunks, no privacy there.
Absolutely, absolutely. The warden said that there is just such a more confident feel in the more modern cells, where they do have a chance to get people away from other folks if they have to. Again, I did a tour of 16 House, which is the factory facility that they're closing. The warden is kind of using that as a way place. He's putting some people there as he does some upgrades to some of the standard housing units. And so it's not completely evacuated. He's using the bottom floor of it, which still houses, I think, 240 or more men in large open spaces.
So from a corrections standpoint, as far as safety for corrections officers, I would assume that the unit they're going to, not the jungle, if you will, is a safer environment for them, and why?
Well, I think it is just because they don't have such tension, so many people in one place. The other units are broken down into about cell blocks, for lack of a better word. of about 100 men each, if I'm not mistaken. And again, they have a common area, kind of almost like a foyer where they have a place where they can watch television or read or whatever amongst other folks, because you do need that interaction. But they also have, you know, within just a few feet, their own personal cells where they can, you know, have that privacy.
Okay.
And one, now I will say this, one employee, corrections employee, can maintain those more modern spaces, whereas it takes four in the mass space in 16 House.
Okay. So, which goes to the idea behind this of the savings that would be involved there. Fewer corrections officers would be needed. Less space would be needed than what they're currently using.
Absolutely. And, you know, as it has been for some time, corrections has difficulty recruiting and hiring folks. Warden Morris said that there's been a definite improvement since the announcement of wages going up, and some recruiting efforts have been increased, I think. But certainly the employees feel better about having being stretched less than they were with 16 House being open. They had, I think, 35 unfilled positions in Algoa that are being eliminated because they have that much less need for people there. Now, that doesn't mean that all their positions are filled. It just means that, you know, they've taken a big chunk out of places where they were, you know, short on help and possibly having to use a lot of overtime, which is an ongoing issue with the corrections department, as we know.
So the idea behind it that this there would need to be fewer corrections officers hired, less overtime. Those are how they are envisioning these proposals would save the money to afford the ability to do.
Well,
this.
There is that, but there also is also maintenance. I mean, these buildings that they're closing, and I'm not sure they're closing them all the way. They'll still, you know, have them available to do some things with. I think they're more than you. Well, some are more than 100 years old. I think the building at Algoa is I think 90 years old. So, so they have maintenance issues to begin with, just because of their age.
So, what's the status of this? When will these changes, if they are to occur, when will they occur? And what sort of action does it require? Does it require legislative approval? Does department head approval? What's the next step?
Well, it's part of the budget process. They have to budget for so many or so much. The budget for Algoa includes so many employees and so much money for maintenance and whatnot. Same for Tipton and these other facilities. So it is part of the budget process because they have to include that in the legislative budget. But I will tell you this, that Warden Morris said that they are moving to get out of that building, and he doesn't anticipate having any folks in there in June.
Wow, that's an awfully quick turnaround. So,
yeah.
All right.
Well, again, you know, they've got the beds for the folks that they have there. I think their capacity was somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,400, and they're going to lose about 420 to 450. I'm not sure exactly which, but they only had somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000. Offenders in the facility to begin with. So that's going to kind of, and again, they move these folks around all the time. I mean, if they just go with what they had there, it basically put them at capacity at that point. Mm-hmm. But you know, again, they move offenders around all the time.
Okay. So based on what you encountered through speaking with the wardens, the corrections officers you encountered, what's the overall impression of this proposal from them?
Well, I can say that, you know, the wards are excited about it. They are really happy about the idea of getting some of those difficult to manage buildings out of their plate, off their plate. For example, the building at Algoa, it's set aside from other buildings a little bit, so it takes some labor and some effort to get folks to and from that building and to get workers into that building. So they're excited about kind of cutting that corner off from their normal staffing. And the warden said that his staff is very excited about it as well, because for the first time in a while, they're going to feel like they have full staffs in at times, so that they don't feel as insecure, or, you know, they feel more protected by the staffing process.
All right. Well, Joe, thank you very much for coming on today's broadcast, and we appreciate you being here.
You're welcome.
News Tribune on Tap is produced by the staff of the Jefferson City News Tribune, with engagement editor Nicole Roberts handling production and technical duties. You can find this podcast at newstribune.com/NT-on-tap. Thanks for listening.